Well, God, we do give thanks for Ethan and for your work in his life. And we ask that you would simply bless our time this morning. We pray that you would speak to each of us however you see fit, God, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Calm Ethan's nerves. Help him to be at peace as he delivers what you have delivered to him to us, God. We give thanks for your deep faithfulness in all things, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
All right, our Bible passage today will be 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 9. If you would care to follow along, you can find it now. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. This is the word of the Lord. Forgot that part. That's pretty important. Stress and busyness have become a staple in the lives of everyday Americans. Between recovering from a recession, an abysmal housing and renting market, especially here, and increasing divisiveness, polarization, and social unrest between different groups of American people, the American people have a lot to be concerned about. Not to mention the problems occurring outside of our country, which go far beyond what most of us are able to comprehend. With all of these problems and issues, we are often blind from our stressors and our busy work. In some ways, we are most afraid of the things that affect us the least. One of the groups often overlooked by these developments are students. As students, we are told from day one that success is directly rooted in our education. We should be proud of the opportunities we have and take advantage of them to the fullest extent. And we ought to be grateful. Don't get me wrong. We should do all of these things. However, in recent years, an emergence of what has been called achievement culture has uprooted many parts of the education system, and even my own education, at times hijacking my love of learning. Often the students which it claims to help are, in a sense, left behind. Achievement culture follows what Pastor Matt has called the three lies of our culture. You are what you do, you are how much you do of it, and you are how well you do it. These three things define achievement culture and directly affect students of faith, whether they know it or not. Our teenage years have become a grand competition for time, as we wrestle between school and church and extracurriculars and friends, assuming you have time, and if you're lucky, a hobby or two. Most often, our church and faith lives are left behind, or at least put in the back seat, as we go throughout our high school years. Perhaps it's because the price of college has increased by over 1,000% since the 1970s, forcing us to compete for scholarships from rigorous academics or varsity sports or music or clubs, or any number of other things which show commitment. Coupled with increased calls for standardized testing, where can a student find relief in such a busy lifestyle? And how is a student supposed to trust God that he is with them in the midst of all of this busyness? As school becomes more like a full-time job than a place of learning, the pressure accompanying these things is beyond destructive. I have seen friends and loved ones suffer from crippling anxiety and depressive disorders, whether it be from the valedictorian constantly comparing herself to others, or the athlete who wasn't good enough or couldn't compete after an injury, or the student who just can't get it. I have friends who have stayed up until 3 a.m. daily just to finish schoolwork on top of the things they do after school. There have been days they've gone without sleep, choosing instead to catch up on missed work. On particularly stressful weeks, only a handful of hours can be found for sleep. Even now, I feel constantly exhausted as I try to find sleep to wake up at 5 a.m. for my zero period, only to stay after school for choir, then go home only to do homework, only to repeat the process day after day after day. It is unbelievably tiring and draining. It's no wonder that young adults have the highest suicide rates of any age group. Many of these and other students simply choose not to go to church or to youth group, which can seem like just another event in a busy schedule with almost no time to be free, or at least to be a kid. And for many parents and students, if an activity isn't helping you run in the high school foot race, it's not worth their time or energy. Somewhere along the line, I found myself a part of the same system. Often unable to find peace, quiet, and rest during the busy school year, I began to realize that I developed depression. And if I wasn't careful with how much time I spent around people, my introversion could produce a depressive episode. This added a whole new element to my high school experience, one that will constantly challenge me and continues to challenge me today. I often have to turn things down I would otherwise enjoy doing. I often can't celebrate after a choir concert. I have to be careful about planning my schedule to try desperately to give me some time alone. The problem is I can't always do that. Every Wednesday I have a 15-hour work day, waking up at 5, getting home at 8:30. I have to be careful about how I fill these 15 hours, since I can't do homework because I simply have no time until it is too late in the day to even think about exerting myself intellectually. Many weekends I simply don't talk to my friends because I'm constantly recovering from the weekdays. So that's what school seems to get me. I've done well, don't get me wrong, but there has been tremendous cost for it. So I began to ask myself, what can God show me in my life? Is there another way to do this? God began to show me that there was, and they came from very different places in my life. Places which I never thought would intertwine as they have. These escapes helped me to see some of the secret wisdom that God has prepared for me and in my life that bring me back to Him in many different ways. My first escapes were in music and performance through choir, something that I found extreme successes in, especially in our choir tours and our solo and ensemble ventures, where I helped to win 3 state trophies, 2 first place trophies and 1 third place trophy, not to brag. It's funny, I wrote cue laughing track. You guys fulfilled that perfectly. What this helped me to discover was that I was a naturally gifted musician. I love music, especially when I get to perform that music. And I get to do that every Sunday on top of choir with the worship band. And I love it. It is an unbelievable joy for me to get to help lead worship every Sunday. I hope to take this joy I have for music into my future and to help others in the same way it helped me. And I thank God for that opportunity, because music is a powerful and God-given tool of salvation and reflection for me. In fact, some of the most powerfully spiritual experiences of my life have been in the midst of music, many of which have brought me humblingly close to a feeling of God's love and presence. Music is an escape from all of the academics that build itself along with classes and schooling, though my hard work in this area has transformed me in my outlook on my life and future. My second escape was youth group. My family came to this church after my dad got a job here as the associate youth director. Before this, we hadn't really gone to church that often, after my dad left his job at Eastwoods Presbyterian, where he was youth director there. Even before that, our move halfway across the country from Illinois left all of us spiritually stranded, longing for a home. My dad dragged me to youth group every other Sunday, and I trudged along behind him, not really sure where I fit in. It was definitely weird for me. I didn't really know anyone who went to this church, and I didn't really want to meet new people. I really just wanted to go home and sleep before Monday's classes. The youth center really felt like an extension of my dad's life, not mine. After walking in with uncertainty every week, eventually I became slowly more comfortable with everyone. And I eventually found myself surrounded by people that I really cared about and who became like a second family to me, effectively renewing my faith where it had previously taken a back seat in my life. I became an intern and a core leader which keeps me busy right until that 8:30 mark every Wednesday. And I love it. And I found a new joy in mentoring the middle schoolers through these two things, something which I didn't foresee myself doing, but now I can't imagine my life without. Work camp also came as a surprise enjoyment to me. The name isn't exactly appealing. One of my friends asked if I was sent to the gulags every summer. I mean, come on. What do you think of when you hear the phrase work camp outside of context? It sounds terrifying, doesn't it? Like prison camp fun time or labor camp. But the experiences I've had on these trips are beyond valuable and have continued to be undeniably relevant and life-changing. Perhaps glimpses into God's infinite wisdom. The most powerful one for me was Work Camp Mexico, as I'm sure it was for many of us. The realization of the impacts that we had made on those families in Rojo Gomez shocked me immensely. The feeling of God's presence seemed without bounds, even in the midst of concrete day. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. They have taught me that work is a version of faithfulness, and the quote on a More Ministries t-shirt still questions me today. Worship without justice is lazy. Justice without worship is angry. Those words have burned deep in my heart and are some of the truest and most challenging words I've ever read. My third escape was something that came way out of left field and something which I had never even remotely considered doing. Landscaping. For those of you who don't know, last year, Pastor Matt and a few other adults from the church decided to create a landscaping company that teaches students about faith, how to work, and life in general, all at the same time. I was lucky enough to be one of Motown, yes, that is the real name, Motown Teen Lawn Care's first employees. I had no idea what I was getting into. I had never done landscaping before, and certainly not the caliber that Matt wanted it to be done at. But I learned quickly, and I worked hard. I learned how to adapt to new situations, like using a box to open a gate. Trust me, it's a good story. Despite having never done anything close to it, other than mowing the lawn occasionally at home, I was shocked to find that I wasn't half bad. Unlike the school environment I and so many of my peers have become accustomed to, landscaping wasn't a competition. It was a job. An unusual one for someone my age, sure, but it was effectively an antithesis to the achievement culture I was surrounded by. Everything I did felt concrete, felt important, and I learned more real-life working skills than perhaps I ever did in school. Most importantly, I found that I could show God's love for others in an unorthodox way. Some of the discussions that I had with Matt about botching an edging job or not moving a box, trust me, it's still a good story, became lessons of grace and love, lessons that God will not abandon me if I do not achieve everything in the world. More glimpses into God's secret wisdom. Despite everything I'm surrounded by day in and day out, all of the stress and deadlines and graduation requirements, God has placed things in my life that allow me to stop and reflect, that allow me to pause in my stressful everyday life and say, "Was that you, God?" After all, only God could bring music, youth group, and landscaping to a struggling teenager and expect him to take a break amidst all the clutter. I know it's unlikely that any of you have the same leisure activities that I do, but maybe your story isn't as different from mine as you think. Maybe God has placed things in your life that you've never thought twice about. But maybe, just maybe, some of those things will be the things that save you, whether you realize it right away or not. As I think about all of this, everything that has happened to me and everything that has happened to all of us, I hope and pray that God can show some of his secret wisdom to us, though we may not understand it, and we may not ever understand it. I pray that we can trust, that we can be trusting in God, to help us, help guide us through the stresses of life, whether it be landscaping or hiking or reading or simply having fun. I pray that we can remember the true purposes of our lives and that we don't stay lost in the weeds of life. Thank you.
Great sermon, Ethan.